Feel like I've been to church already. Good to see you this morning. Sunday school was fantastic. Boy, if you missed that, you ought to get that on the four types of soil. But what a blessing to be with you today. Thank you so much, Pastor, for this opportunity to be here. And I want to talk to you from my heart here this morning. We're doing some remodeling in our house, and I took it by myself to do a little painting this week. Big mistake. And I was out on the porch painting the wood around the door, and I dropped the paint bucket. Anybody ever done that? Paint all over the side of the siding, all over the concrete. I got fretted. I grew up in Southside, Virginia, where my parents would often talk about people fretting or being fretted. How many of you ever heard that word, fretted? You know what that means? I think this must be a Virginia word. Nobody else knows what that means, but it means that you're bothered because you've been treated poorly. It means you're bothered because things are not going right. It means you're bothered because you spill the paint all over the place. It means that you're disgruntled, upset, irritated, agitated, and you can get fretted at yourself. Can anybody identify with this? You can get fretted at other people. I'm telling you, you can get fretted. Now, the Bible talks about this business of fretting, so I want you to turn over to Psalm chapter 37. Psalm chapter 37. I know a fellow that was preaching a meeting for 5 weeks in a local church, and he preached the same message 16 times. And the title of the same message he preached 16 times in the same church, in the same meeting. And the title of the sermon was, "What Are You Mad About?" What are you mad about? I got mad when I spilled that paint. I felt like saying some choice words, and what I said was mild in comparison to what I felt like saying. I was fretted. I was upset. I was agitated. I was irritated. How could I be so stupid as to spill the paint all over the place? You know, arthritis in the thumb. Have to blame something, amen? But it was just a mistake. But the Bible talks about being fretted. So stand to your feet and let's look at this. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. Psalm chapter 37, verse 1. Read it out loud. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." Look at that right there. "Fret not thyself because of evildoers." Evildoers and the word wicked appear 16 times in Psalm 37. And I'm telling you, if you look at all the evil doing and evil doers and evil sayings, you're going to have a problem with not fretting if you're not careful. And the Bible says here, "Fret not yourself." Let me ask you, do you resent unsaved people? Are you entertaining wishful thoughts for somebody else's downfall? The Bible says, "Fret not yourself because of evildoers." Look in verse 7, Psalm 37, verse 7. Read it out loud, please. "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass." The Bible says, don't fret yourself against a man who's advancing an evil plan. The Bible says, don't fret yourself because of him who is prospering. Let me ask you a question. Do you resent ungodly people who are more financially prosperous than you are? The Bible says right here, well, look at it, "Fret not yourself because of him who's prospering in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." Now look in verse 8, Psalm 37, verse 8. Read it out loud. "Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Stop planning your retaliation. I want to ask you, what are you mad about? What are you mad about? You can be angry with your spouse. I know of a man whose wife informed him 2 weeks ago she wanted out. He was clueless, and she's come forward and says she's already filed for divorce. You can be angry with your children. You can be angry with your parents. You can be angry with your spiritual leaders. You can be angry with political leaders. I mean, think that's maybe righteous anger sometimes maybe. But you can be angry with leaders. You can be angry with your employer, your employees. You can be angry with your neighbor. You can be angry with the person who cheated you. You could be angry with God. I asked a fellow one time who counsels people, I said, how many people in the church are angry with God? Without hesitation, he said, over 50%. Upset, disappointed, or angry with God. I was in a meeting one time when a lady stood up and she said, God showed me what's been wrong with me. She said, I've been blaming God for 8 years for killing my mother and father. They had a head-on collision with a drunk driver. And she said, I've been angry with God for 8 years. Fretting. Now, the Bible says three times in the scripture here, fret not. Don't do it. Don't fret because of evildoers. Don't fret because of the guy that's bringing evil devices to pass. And then in verse 8, don't fret yourself in any wise to do evil. Now, the word fret means to glow. It means to glow, to blaze up, to boil, to seethe with anger, to burn, to simmer, to fume, to be displeased. I ask you this morning, what are you angry about? Who's disappointed you? Who's betrayed you? Who's abandoned you? Who has wronged you? Are you reliving injustices? You know, we're living in a generation where everybody wants to bring up every injustice that's ever happened. And I want to tell you something. As God's people, we better get over this victimhood mentality that's overtaken our nation and put the past behind us and move on and quit fretting all the time. Some of y'all are like me. You're high strung and you get fretted easily. I mean, that's just the way it is. You drop your paint, you're going to feel like saying some things too. That's just the way it is. But the Bible says, fret not. Jesus, would you help us today to not fret? And Father, would you give us wisdom with this fret not formula? We give you praise with anticipation. All God's people say it. You can be seated. Now listen, replaying betrayals and wrongs in your mind. I mean, just rehearsing all this stuff will cause you to boil with anger and with rage. Now let me repeat. The word fret here means to glow. It's a slow burn, and it's not a holy glow. You know, to simmer with fretting anger, it's kind of like a pot on the stove. You got the lid halfway off, halfway on. It's not boiling. You've cut the temperature down to where it's just kind of simmering. You know, it's just kind of simmering. And that's what this word here means. Now, glowing, you're stewing, you're steaming, you're worrying. Now, it's a natural reaction to simmer. To roll things over in your mind to try to figure things out. You ever do this? You know, you're trying to sort things out. You're trying to get some answers. You're trying to have a perspective. But you can't continue to fret over stuff indefinitely. Now, when you fret about stuff, it overwhelms your thinking. Does anybody here tend to be obsessive? I want to ask you how many of you are obsessive and compulsive and disordered. I'm not going to ask you that here this morning because I know some are. I know some of you are. I just flat out know that. But listen, you know, it will overwhelm your thinking. That's all you can think about. And it makes it impossible to worship. It makes you incapable of talking to God. That's why the Bible says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. I want to tell you something. Fretting doesn't please God. Fretting grieves the Holy Ghost. Fretting brings you no pleasure, and fretting makes you hard to live with. It makes you hard to live with. I'm just telling you. Now, let me ask you, what are you simmering about? Do you ever repeat in your mind the stuff that people have done to you? And it's kind of like a slow burn, you know. You're not beating a wall at this point, but it's kind of simmering in your mind. And here you are considering your options to retaliate. Do you ever do this? You're thinking about lawsuits. You're thinking about payback. And I'm the kind of person that when somebody has wronged me, I come up with a legal brief in my mind, and I get my speech all prepared in my heart, so I'll know what to say when the opportunity. Can anybody identify with this sorry state of affairs? It's just the way it is, man. And you're thinking about ways to get back at the people who hurt you. You know what fretting is? Fretting is a form of bitterness that will eat you alive. It just ain't worth it. It just isn't worth it. Now, listen, it destroys your peace. It destroys your fruitfulness. It destroys your worship. It destroys your prayer. Fretting, simmering. It can lead to an explosion on people who did you no wrong. I remember when I was growing up, we had a certain relative who was a hothead, and She would never got married, and I can see reasons for that. And she went out and exploded on this widow woman store owner for no apparent reason. Well, the widow woman hadn't done anything. But what has happened? She's over there fretting, simmering about stuff. And I want to say this. If your wound is not healed, you're going to bleed on people who didn't cut you. If your wound is not healed, you're going to bleed on people who didn't cut you. And I'm just telling you, fretting. If your anger is not stopped, you boil over on people who did you no wrong. Now, habitual fretting can lead to a way of life. Everybody frets on occasion, but you can't afford to indulge this. This is one thing you just can't continue with. You've got to get rid of it. So the Bible says here three times, fret not. How many agree that's a commandment of God? Don't fret. That's a commandment of God. So how are we going to obey that commandment where it says three times, don't fret? Well, let me give you the fret not formula. The fret not formula. It's all right here in Psalm chapter 37. So number one on the fret not formula, number one, get over your anger. Get over your anger. Look in verse 8. Notice what it says. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. Notice what it says. Cease from anger. Now I want to tell you that anger is a natural emotion, a natural human emotion that God has put into us. Being upset is not a sin, but staying upset is. It's not a sin to get upset when you drop your paint, okay? It can be a sin if you take further actions on it and go down the wrong road. But I'm just telling you, being upset is a natural human emotion. But anger is an emotion that must be controlled, and anger can be controlled because the Bible says, be angry and sin not. It doesn't say don't be angry. It says be angry, but don't sin. Now, you can control your anger. Say this out loud. I can control my anger. Say that. I can control my anger. You say, well, I just can't control myself. I just can't. Sure you can. Sure you can. You're having a fit in the house, and all of a sudden, you're saying stuff and yelling and carrying on, and somebody knocks on the door, and if it's Pastor Altizer, you have an instant transformation in the way you're presenting yourself. And the scowl turns into a smile. Oh, preacher, God bless you. So glad you're here. You can control your anger. You can control your emotions. That's like a young, you know, how many remember the drive-in movies? Remember this? Yeah, how many like to forget to drive in movies? But here's a couple in the car, you know, and kind of carrying on. And you say, well, they just can't control themselves. Sure they can. You let a policeman come and tap on the window and shot a flashlight in there, their disposition and their attitude changes instantly. You can control your emotions. Say that again. I can control my emotions. You can. I'm telling you. Christians can control their anger. Now it says in Proverbs, he that is soon angry deals foolishly. He that is soon angry deals foolishly. Depart from an angry man. Proverbs 14, the fool utters all his mind. You know, if your mind is in neutral, you better not have your mouth in high gear. I mean, you're going to have to learn to control your anger. Now look, when you blow a gasket, you speak words that you can't never take back. You ever say stuff you wish you had never said? Control your anger. That's what it says. Cease from anger. Now, look, swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. Let me say that again. Swallowing angry words before you say them is better than having to eat them afterwards. And people who swallow their words never ask for second helpings. I'm just telling you, cease from anger. If you bite your tongue on occasion, you will be better off. I was eating something the other night. I bit my tongue right in the middle. How in the world do you bite your tongue right in the middle? I mean, cut a gash right in the thing. But sometimes you got to bite your tongue, which is a reminder. Shut up. Don't say that. Don't speak that. Listen, change your focus. Change your feelings. If you want to change your feeling, if you're down and out, change your focus, and you will change your feelings. You've got to make a conscious decision to stop churning over those bitter thoughts that come into your mind. I grew up on a farm in Southside, Virginia. We had a milk cow. We only had one. and it would get out and get pregnant, and then we'd have a calf, and then we'd sell it. We only had one milk cow. That's all we ever had. And my mother had a churn, not one of those hand kind of things, but one of those electric things you put on this big churn. And you know, it churns the butter. It would churn the butter. And you know something? You got to stop churning over all of this bitter, hurtful stuff, because when anger gets the best part of you, the worst part of you is going to come out. And I'm telling you, fret not. Fret not. You ever get around people that is in a constant state of agitation? A constant state. Not every now and then. A constant state. That's why the Bible says it's better to dwell on a housetop than with a contentious, fretting woman. That's what it says. And it's better to deal on a housetop than with a fretting, agitated man. Amen? So it works both ways right here. It just works both ways. Now listen to this. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Do you realize that entertaining anger, continued anger, gives place to the devil? You know, when you're fretted, that's one thing, but if you stay fretted, you get a toehold, and the toehold can lead to a foothold, and the foothold can lead to a stronghold, and the stronghold can lead to a stranglehold. And I'm telling you, that's a dangerous place to be in. You ever notice these political women on television? Show me one of them that's happy. Show me one of them that's got anything positive to say. They are bitter, full of anger, full of malice. Look at the mayor of Chicago. I mean, just look at these people, man. And what is wrong with all of this? They are full of bitterness and anger and fretting. And God's people ought not to be like that. Say amen right there. Now listen, control your anger. Quit talking about your hurt to other people. You know, after you've rehearsed this thing two or three times, you maybe ought to quit it. Because you keep yourself stirred up. You keep everybody else stirred up. And if you want to get something out of your mind, get it out of your mouth. If you want to get something out of your mind, first get it out of your mouth. Stop talking about your hurt. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Now, the way to cease from anger is to admit you're angry. I want to ask you this morning, are you angry about something? Are you fretting about something? It's so easy to do this. So, admit you're mad. The first thing on the road to healing is admitting you got a problem, and we got to get honest with God, honest with ourselves, and honest with one another. That's kind of like the person that's out, you know, at the buffet. We're going out to a buffet today. And the person says, are you going to go back? No, I don't want anything else. And the truth of the matter is they want something else. They want something else. Well, I don't want to look at that image. When the truth of the matter is I want to look at that image. That's just the way. You got to get honest about you. You got to get honest with yourself, for crying out loud. You got to get honest with God. And you better get honest with somebody else. I've been in a covenant now for 10-day segments for, I can't remember how long. A guy called me up back months ago, and he said, Harold, let's me and you go into a 10-day covenant. I said, what are you talking about? He says, let's go for a 10-day covenant to where we're purposing in our heart that we're not going to sin presumptuous sins. We're not going to sin deliberately. We're not going to sin intentionally. If we sin, it will not be because we premeditated it. It will not be an intentional sin. Would you believe that helped me? So for 10 days, I said, okay, God, I might sin, but at least it's not going to be on purpose this time. And at least it's not going to be intentional. So I had to re-up that covenant. Now I've been in a covenant with two guys. So about a week ago, I said, Lord, why am I in a covenant with human beings not to sin when I ought to be in a covenant with you? So I had to make a covenant with God. Deliver me from presumptuous sins. Cleanse me from secret faults. But Lord, deliver me from on-purpose sins. Can anybody identify with what I'm saying right here? On-purpose sins. I mean, God, at least I don't want to commit those. So listen, if you're going to get seized from anger, you're going to have to admit you are. Just confess it to God. Forsake your wrath. Put those things out of your mind. Put the Word of God in your mind. Staying mad is unhealthy. It is unhealthy. It's unproductive. It's self-inflicted punishment. I was born with high blood pressure. And it gets higher all the time when I'm entertaining all these wrongs. I'm just telling you, and it doesn't solve the problem. You don't have to stay angry. Say this out loud. I don't have to stay angry. Say that out loud. I don't have to. Emphasize the word I. I don't have to stay angry. You've got to tell yourself this kind of stuff. Now, you're not responsible for all the injustices that get perpetrated upon you, but you're responsible for how you respond. And if you want to get over this fretting business, cease from anger. Cease from anger. God doesn't want your heart to be an angry place. God doesn't want your home to be an angry place. And God doesn't want your church to be an angry place. How many churches in this country, you know, they were started not out of good intention, but out of some fretting and some anger situation. You know what ought to be happening? Now that the churches are shrinking and everything's going on, some of the church splits that happened 100 years ago, somebody will get enough spirituality about them to say, why don't we just join up because we ain't getting the job done over here no how, so let's back up and cease from anger. Well, that's a second point. But and cease from anger. Number two, you want to get over fretting. Fretting. Number two, you got to commit your way to God. You got to commit your way to God. Look in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. You know what the word commit means? It means to take that incident and roll your burden on the Lord. Just roll it over on him. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. Roll your burden on the Lord, and he will deliver you. You know, the best illustration I can find is a fellow that was roofing his house. I may remember when Americans roofed their house and didn't have Mexicans come do it for them. Does anybody remember this? I had Mexicans come to my house. But in the old days, the guy would get a bundle of shingles on his shoulder. He'd climb up that ladder. He'd hand the bundle off to the guy on the roof. The guy on the roof would take the burden, take the bundle, put it on the pinnacle, and that's the way they got the shingles up there. He would hand it off. He would roll his burden. He would roll that bundle off on his neighbor. And that's what it means right here, to cast your burden. Roll your burden upon the Lord. Hand your burden off to God, and he will sustain you. Listen, fretting chokes the life of God out of you. How many of you know you can't enjoy your devotions when you're fretting? You can't pray when you're fretting. You can't worship God when you're fretting. You can't enjoy the singing like we had here this morning when you're fretting. You just can't get nothing out of it because here you are all caught up in your own world. Now, shouldering burdens that God doesn't put on you will rob you of your joy, rob you of your peace, rob you of your fruitfulness. Listen to me. Some burdens are to be shouldered. Every man shall bear his own burden. Some burdens are to be shared. The Bible says bear one another's burdens. And some burdens are to be shed. Cast your burden on the Lord. Roll your burden off on God, and he will deliver you. Now, fretting, this inward anger, it comes to kill and to destroy. Now think about David. In 1 Samuel 25, Saul was trying to kill David. Trying to kill him. I mean, this is serious. And Saul was wrong because Saul was jealous. Saul was enraged. He tried to kill David with a javelin. And old David refused to come against the Lord's anointed. And you know what old David did? He played his harp. He soothed Saul's mind. He did right even though he had been wronged. And if David did that, we can do. You say, well, I'm not like David. Well, David killed a guy and committed adultery, so you're more like him than you think you are. I mean, get over yourself, man. I'm just telling you, this godly man, he dealt with the injustices that were done to him. And David rolled his burden over on God. Let God settle the case. Take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I remember one time we had a situation, a tremendous conflict, tremendous lying, tremendous deception in a church setting. I had a file folder full of evidence of the junk. So I have a backhoe. So I took my backhoe out and I dug a hole in the ground and I took that file folder of evidence and I put it in the ground and I covered it over. And you know what I thought? that's going to settle my problem. But it didn't settle my problem because I put the evidence in the ground, but I still had the burden in my heart. And you got to roll your burden over on God. You got to hand that thing over to God. Commit your way to the Lord. Number three, fret not formula. Trust the Lord. Trust the Lord. Look in verse 5. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Trust also in him. You got to trust God. You got to put your confidence in God. You know what faith is? Faith is confidence in God. Unbelief is confidence in something other than God. Faith is confidence in God. Unbelief is confidence in something other than God. Now look, once you have attempted to get justice and failed, you got to hand your case over to God and trust the judge of the whole earth to sort it out. You ever get angry with God because his justice is slow? I remember one time I was praying. I said, God, here's an abusive, cult-like, God-forsaken, abusive place where people are being hurt left and right. God, why don't you shut the thing down? Now, I didn't say it exactly like that, but I did say it like this. Lord, you know, if I was in charge of this, I think I would take some swift action, advising God on how to manage his affairs. Well, how arrogant is that? Now, God's timetable and my timetable seldom coincide, okay? But what you got to do, you got to hand that thing over to God and trust the judge of the earth to sort that situation out. He can take care of it. It's not my responsibility to punish my offenders. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. So that's God's jurisdiction. Now, you got to hand your case over to God, and you got to leave it there. And stop speculating about the prosperity of the wicked. Okay, these people are not serving God, and here they are. You know, they got it going on, and man, during COVID, they're making a mint, and here I am, you know, struggling and so on and so forth. Here's an ungodly person. They're having children. They're not even married. And here we are trying to have children, and we're trying to do right. And what's going on here? You know, we get fretted. You get fretted with God. I'm telling you, if you're fretted with a human, you're probably fretted with God. Run it down far enough, find that out. That's just the case. Now, stop speculating about the prosperity of the wicked. It's God's business to repay your offender. It's not yours. Look in verse 7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. That word rest means to be still and silent. When you get upset, do you get on the phone and call somebody and talk about it? From experience, you'd be better off to get off the phone and get on your face and talk to God about it. You'd be much better off. Be still. Be still and stop replaying that past episode. Stop being rattled. Stop working yourself up. Stop rehearsing your hurt. Be still. Rest. Be calm. Rest in the Lord. There was a missionary one time trying to translate the Bible for his native people, and in their language there was no equivalent word for the word faith. He couldn't come up, there was just no word for the word faith. He didn't know how to express it in their language. Well, here was a national that came running. He had been running for miles and miles and miles. He traveled a long distance. He came into the missionary's home. He was exhausted. He flopped into a chair, and the national said this, "I'm resting all my weight on this chair." Absolutely exhausted, flopped on the chair. "I'm resting all my weight on this chair." And the missionary knew he had the word for faith. Resting all your weight on God. That's what faith is. It's resting all your weight upon the Lord. The Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your path." Quit leaning on your own understanding. You don't have the full, you don't, we don't have the full picture. Are you with me here? We don't have the full story here. We don't know everything. Stop leaning on your own understanding. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above anything. By the way, how many think it's about time the church in America saw some exceedingly abundantly above anything we could ask or even think about? It's about time for a little miracle in the house of God. And I know some people are so afraid of wildfire, they got no fire. And I don't want any wildfire, but I'll tell you one thing, brother. I'd like to get somewhere where the Holy Ghost was in charge and something was going on. Something big was going on, man. Something stirred. So don't be discouraged by what you see. Look beyond what you see. Pastor one time, he said, well, I don't see any evidence of revival on the horizon. Quit looking at the horizon. Look above the horizon, man. Look above what you can see. Get beyond all of that. Never mind. Well, what if a senile man gets in office? Look beyond all of that. Look beyond all of that. I'm not here to politic this morning. I'm trying to encourage you. What I'm telling you is, brother, we need to get in to believe God and to have some confidence in God and to trust in the Lord and to believe Him. So trust the Lord. Fret not, formula number four, put away evil. Put away evil. Put away evil. Look in verse 27. Depart from evil and what? Say it out loud. Verse 27. Oh, wait a minute. You can't look at verse 27. That's the wrong book. That's Ephesians. Depart from evil and do good. Now, fretting is evil. How many go along with that? Fretting is evil. Fretting is sin. Okay? So instead of doing evil, start doing good. Cease from anger and do good. 1 Thessalonians 5. See that none render evil for evil unto any man. But ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So put away evil. How do you put away evil? Well, you cease from evil and you start doing good. Let me give you some positive alternatives to fretting. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 says, rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. I want to tell you something. Joy is a choice before it's an emotion. It's a choice. I'm just telling you, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Just turn it over to God. Sometimes you got to go to God and tell God the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Lord, I'm upset. Lord, I wish I hadn't spilled this paint. Lord, I wish I hadn't thought those thoughts. Lord, I wish I hadn't said that. Lord, listen, rejoice in the Lord. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You gotta quit looking at all the bad things and the stuff you've lost and thank God for what you got left. My son had an accident Friday a week ago coming home from work over in Ferrum, ran out of the road. For some reason, his car somersaulted end over end for 100 feet down the highway. It was late on me to go to clean out the car. When I saw the car on the back of the tow vehicle, the guy came out and he said, my first question was, when I saw this, how many people got killed in this accident? There was hardly anything left of the car. It was a sobering experience. He got a concussion. He broke the tendons in his shoulder. So he has to go Tuesday and get those redone. And you say, well, man, he lost the car. He lost this. He still got his life. I mean, for crying out loud, quit looking at all the negative stuff. Start rejoicing about the good stuff. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks to God. You got anything left? Anybody lose anything in the last stock market debacle? Like 40%? Anybody lose anything? Well, how about rejoice in the Lord? Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. I'm telling you, God's people ought to be annoyingly optimistic. And if you want to get some optimism, you got to get out of the average Baptist church and go down to a lively church. And if you want to get some optimism, it's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. If you want to hear a message on faith, you have to listen to a borderline heretic to hear anything about believing God. And it ought not to be this way. And I want to say something to us here this morning. We got to get out of our defensive, defeated, fundamentalist mentality that we're in for the long haul. The ship's going down. Don't expect nothing to happen. Get out of that stuff. Get out of your Baptist Amish mentality to where we're just going to huddle up and hold. No, brother, in Jesus' name, rejoice evermore. In everything, give thanks. Pray without ceasing, man. Quench not the Holy Spirit. You know there's a replacement principle in the book of Ephesians. Let me give it to you. Listen to this, Ephesians 4. Put off concerning the former behavior, the former conversation, the old man. Put off the old man. It's not talking about your husband. It's talking about you, your old nature, your old Adam life. That's what it's talking about. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Put on the new man. Put off the old man. Get rid of him. Put on the new man created after righteousness and true holiness. How many of you believe that Christians have a divine nature? Does anybody here believe that? Everybody, everywhere I go, all they talk about is how depraved we are. Well, I know you got a flesh that ain't going to be improved, but that ain't you. The real you is the new you. It's Christ in you. You've been made a partaker of the divine nature. How come you got to go to some other kind of church to hear that kind of doctrine, for crying out loud? There's something imbalanced about us. We become so inward focused, so depravity focused. You better get victory focused, brother, because thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. Now look, it's put off, put on. Quit lying, start telling the truth. Quit stealing, get a job, make some money, and start giving it away. You put off, you put on. You put off the old man, put on the new man. When you take something out, you got to put something back, right? It's the replacement principle. Now, when you return evil for evil, you're doing the same thing your offender did to you. You know better than they are. It's the same deal. Now listen, Matthew 4, or 5, 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies. Listen to this. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good unto them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. How many understand persecution is here and it's coming with a vengeance? You understand that? They're not going to persecute you for doing stupid stuff. They're just going to persecute you for doing right stuff. Okay? That's just the way, that's the climate that we're in. I was on the phone with a guy from California, a pastor. He said, Harold, I'm going to preach Sunday on pray for them that that hate you. Love them that hate you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. And I said to the pastor, I said, boy, we ought to hear that message about once a month. At least once a month, we ought to pull that message out. Because we're going to have to do this. Depart from evil and do good. Fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. Fretting. All right, point number 5. Listen to this. Fret not formula. Listen to this. Find your delight in God. Find your delight in God. How many know it's okay to have a little delight on this side? How many know it's not all drudgery, it's not all duty, it's not all burden, but there's to be a little delight in the journey here? We got to quit singing those old unscriptural, when I get to heaven, I'll lay my heavy burden down. Go ahead and lay it down now. This morning would be a good time to start doing that, amen? Get to be preparation for eternity. I mean, I know we got stuff on us, but we can't stay consumed with it. It kills us. Delight in God. Now look in verse 4. Look at it. Verse 4. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you what? He will never give you the desires of your depraved heart. That ain't what it says. Delight yourself. Look, by the way, I know we have a depraved old nature. It's not going to improve. But the old nature is not you. The old man, flesh is in you, but you're not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if so be the spirit of God dwell in you. Anybody with me on this point right here? So I have a divine nature with devilish propensities. And the devilish propensities come from the old man. And we're supposed to put him off. And we're supposed to put on the new man. Amen. And when you do that, you can delight yourself in the Lord. And he'll give you what? The desires of your heart. Look, you can navigate the will of God through your sanctified desires. I believe when you're under the control of the Holy Spirit, what you want is what God wants. When you're walking with God, what you want is what God wants. This seems to be what it says. Delight yourself in God. He will give you the desires of your heart. Do you realize that God is the happiest person in the entire universe? The Bible says, in thy presence there's fullness of joy. And at your right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You know, I look, I know life is hard. I know bad things happen. I know we've got burdens on us. I know our hearts get crushed. I know stuff, we lose stuff. I know we lose relationship. We lose people. I know we have some losses in life. But what I'm saying to you is this, that at the right hand of God are pleasures forevermore, and in his presence is fullness of joy, and God wants us to have some of this. And when we are delighting in the Lord, we're finding our happiness in God. We have joy in the Lord like now. Quit counting your bruises and start counting your blessings. And quit looking at your losses and thank God for whatever you got left. And what about this? Think about your benefits. He daily loadeth us with benefits. I didn't die of cancer last week, brother. That's a blessing. Amen? I hadn't lost all my mind yet. Amen? That's a blessing. Amen? I got a family. Praise God. I got grandchildren. Hallelujah. We got an adopted one going on here. I mean, hey, man, think on those kind of things. That's why I appreciate those Facebook posts that are happy. That's why you put smiling babies up. Everybody likes them because who would not like that? Well, that's a blessing, isn't it? So look, praise God for your advantages. Anybody here got any advantages? How many didn't have a heart attack last week? Lift your hand up right now. Praise God. How many your arthritis is not forbidding you from walking? Just lift your hand on that right there. Amen. How many don't have a migraine all the time? Huh? Like, wow, what advantage, what blessings. You know, our son, well, they just bought this car, hadn't even made the first payment, and they got GAF insurance. GAF insurance means if you wreck it, they're going to take care of the whole thing. That was a blessing, amen? So, hey, look, instead of dwelling on your losses, thank God for what you got left. I like that song. I've had more gains than losses. I've known more joy than hurt. And his grace rolled out upon me undeserved. God's been good in my life. Maybe we ought to crank that up at the end of the service here this morning. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Delight in the goodness of God. I mean, dwell on those things. Find your joy in the Lord. Don't focus on the negatives. Get away from people who are all the time obsessed with negativity and telling you what's wrong with Joe Biden. Look, there's plenty wrong with Joe Biden. There ain't nothing perfect about none of that crowd up there. But I'm just telling you, our joy is not going to be in an election. Our joy better be because we're citizens of the heavenly kingdom. Our joy better be because we're heading toward it. And by the way, we need some more heaven preaching in Baptist churches. I'm a little more Jesus is coming again kind of preaching. Remember, when I first got in, I never heard of a rapture in the United Methodist Church. It's more like a rupture every time we went to service. But I got in this independent church, man, that goes up there talking about the soon return of the Lord, the imminent return of Jesus Christ. Anybody remember this kind of language? Imminent return, Jesus is coming. Wow, we're going to be raptured out of here. Wow, we're going to be caught up together in the air. Wow, I never heard anything like this in my life. I got so excited. I went out of church. Man, I didn't want to go to sleep because I was afraid I might miss the rapture. You know, I mean, it was just so real. It was so real that Jesus is coming. And for some reason, this has kind of faded off the popular charts. I don't know why, but I predict a revival of heaven and second coming preaching. And that's happy preaching, man. It's going to be great, isn't it? Praise God, no COVID up there. Hallelujah. No oncologist up there, amen. No high blood pressure medicine up there. No socialized medicine up there. Say amen on that point right there. This is good, I'm just telling you. Now listen. I delight in the goodness of God. I focus on the goodness of God. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. You ever get tired of fretting? You know, some of us have personalities to where we can gravitate to the dark side real easy. It's just, you know, it's just a personality thing. Well, we better intentionally be gravitating to the God side of things and get free from this bondage of fretting. Now, I'm wondering, is anybody here tired of fretting? Anybody just exhausted? Wore out? you know, you cut on the news and no wonder you look like you do. I cut that thing off, man. Get a copy of the song this morning and plug that baby in and start dancing around in your backyard a little bit. That's what I'm a little dose of that wouldn't hurt us. I'm just here to tell you, brother, that we got to quit sweating over the small stuff. Now, listen, get preoccupied with the goodness of God. God's good no matter what's happening. Find your delight in the Lord. Let the high praises of God fill your mouth. Get happy in God. Don't sweat the small stuff. A guy wrote a book one time called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. P.S. It's all small stuff. You know what he said? He said if it ain't going to make any difference in 50 years, it should make so much difference right now. If it's not going to make a lot of difference in 10 years, it should make so much difference, right? I've been ripped off in my life, just like you. I've been taken advantage of, lied to, you know, from professing Christians. and I would get all boiled out, get all fretting about it, all upset about the thing. And finally dawned on me, wait a minute, Harold. This ain't going to make a whole lot of difference in 5 years. It shouldn't be making so much difference right now, right? And ain't nothing going to make any difference for some of us in 50 years. So don't sweat the small stuff. Quit fretting. Just get beyond it. Now, the stuff that troubles you now is not going to exist in eternity. And listen, sorrow and sadness will fade away. So if it's not going to bother you then, don't let it bother you, but so much down here. You know, work through the thing, deal with the thing. You know, be angry, but don't stay that way. You know, don't sin not. Impose this fret not formula. Now, let me rehearse it, and we don't have it on the overhead. Number one, fret not formula. Get over your anger. Confront it. You know, 10 years ago when I realized that our country was lost, economically, there's no way out. Judicially, no way out. Morally, no way out. Apostasy on every hand. I grieved. But you know, most nations last about 250 years and then they implode. And that's what's going to happen to this country if we stay here long. That's going to happen at some point. But our hope is not down here. I thank God I was born in the United States. I thank God that I'm a citizen of this country. I thank God for the heritage. But listen, whether we lose it or not, I hadn't lost my citizenship in heaven and you hadn't either. And you better get happy about that. Get over your anger. Get over your anger. Just deal with it. Confront it. Number two, commit your way to God. That's an intentional commitment. You know, sometimes you got to say, God, I don't want to commit any presumptuous sins. And you got to get on the other side of that and say, God, I want to do some presumptuous praise. I'm going to go ahead and praise up front. I'm going to go ahead and bless God up front. I'm going to go ahead and express gratitude up front. I'm going to get ahead of the curve right here. I'm going to live with this kind of a disposition. One of my goals in life is to encourage as many people as I possibly can before I die. That's one of my goals. And I hear from people, you probably don't remember me, but 30 years ago you were preaching in Timbuktu and I came to the Lord. Really? Well, I never knew this. So I'd like to have a lot of surprises like that on the other side, wouldn't you? So you sow now, you're going to reap later. Commit your way to God. Trust the Lord. Number three, put your confidence in God. Don't put confidence in people or yourself or nothing else. Put your confidence in God. And that's called faith. Depart from evil and do good. Quit it. You know, when it comes to sin, admit it, quit it, and forget it. If you're overtaken in a fault, admit it, quit it, and forget it. He that covers his sin is not going to prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes is going to have mercy. That means admit it, quit it, and forget it. Delight yourself in the Lord. Man, find your delight in God. Get your soul happy in him. I mean, it may not be anything down here to be happy about sometimes, but there's always something to be happy about in him. Now, you know what God wants in your heart? An atmosphere of peace. It says here in Psalm 37, they shall enjoy the abundance of peace. Abundance of peace. A happy heart, and God wants you to have a happy home. I said, God wants you to have a happy home. You got to work and make your home a happy place. Look for stuff to celebrate. My wife and I, we've been blessed. So every now and then, we just decide to go out to a nice place. And to celebrate. When our children were small, We were all the time looking for reasons to have a party at our dinner table at night. We were all the time looking for something to celebrate. And we didn't have to look far. We could find something, some blessing, and boy, we'd celebrate it because we wanted our home to be happy, that when our children got old, they'd want to come back. Because children don't want to come back to a miserable environment. They ain't coming back. But if it's a happy place, they'll come back. Our children come over all the time. My daughter-in-law said, "Dad, you have a very unusual family." I said, "What do you mean?" She said, "You have a very unusual family because you all like each other. You not only love each other, you like each other, and you like to spend time together." And she was not kidding. She meant that. And I thought, really? Is that the way it is? So I had to call a family meeting. I got a little nervous. I call them all in. I said, "Lord, tell them what you told me." She said, "Well, I just told Dad we have a very unusual family because we like each other and we like to be around each other." And I says, "What can we do to maintain this unity?" So we had a little strategy session right there. Now listen, God wants you to have a happy heart. God wants you to have a happy home. You can work at this. And God wants you to have a peaceful, happy church. You know, Mitch Deskins used to call this Craig City. That's what he called it, Craig City, or whatever, that's what he called it. And he'd be talking about that. And you know what? First Baptist Church ought to be the happiest place in Craig City. It ought to be the most pleasant place. I said the most pleasant place. The most pleasant place. I mean, they get agitated, irritated on the job, in the work, in the world, on the highway, everywhere else. When they come to the house of God, there ought to be a little reprieve. There ought to be some peace of God. There ought to be some blessing from heaven. There ought to be a word from God. Amen. There ought to be a touch of God here in the house. And I'm telling you, we can do this by employing the fret not formula. Now, don't fret yourself because of evildoers. If you're fretted because of that, you're going to be upset all the time. Number two, don't fret yourself because the man that brings wicked devices to pass. Don't stay agitated about that. Confront it. Deal with it. Be angry. Don't sin all the time. Get away from it. Number three, fret not yourself in any wise to do evil. How many of you think that we can employ this fret not formula and we can have a peaceful heart? A peaceful heart. How many believe that's possible? I can have a peaceful heart. Do you believe that? How many believe you can have a peaceful home by employing this formula? A peaceful home. How many believe you can have a pleasant, peaceful church if we would employ this formula right here? Amen? Now look, conflict's going to come. Misunderstanding's going to happen. Disagreement's going to take place. So what? We're in the family of God. By the way, if you disagree with somebody, you don't even agree with yourself 15 years ago. You just look back at what you used to think and now what you're thinking now. Well, I guess I ought to give somebody else a little space of grace, amen, since God's given me mine. So God wants us to have a fret-free heart, a fret-free home, and a fret-free church. Fret not yourself, the fret not formula. Let's talk to Jesus. Stand to your